You're listening to the Isaka Podcast. I'm your host, Safia Kazi, and today I'm excited to be speaking with Frank Downs and Dustin Brewer. Frank is Senior Director of Cybersecurity Advisory and Assessment Solutions at Isaka, and Dustin is Isaka's Principal Futurist. In today's podcast, we're talking about cybersecurity certifications and if they're worthwhile. We'll also talk about if it's better to get a university degree or to pursue certifications. So Frank, why are we discussing certifications today?
So Dustin and I were talking the other day specifically about all the certifications that you kind of collect along the way in your career. For probably a lot of people who are listening, they probably know, but if you don't, hey, guess what? Isaka's got a new certification, the CDPSE, the CDPSE, which is short for the Certified Data Privacy Solutions Engineer. But I really enjoy saying the abbreviation CDPSE because it's just fun. And it's our first privacy certification. And we were discussing how, you know, certs have changed over time and certs we use in every day, right, in our career. Well, maybe not every day, but that you need them every day, right, for your career and the importance of them. And it was interesting, right, because, and we've talked about this a lot of times, but there's kind of a, I don't want to say a catch-22, but it's really kind of weird because whenever you look at all of the data, and we have this, the state of cyber is a really good example of that. But whenever you look at the data that comes back, people say, we always go, hey, what is the most important thing for you in the workforce, right? When you're hiring and so forth, what's really important? And the options are always like certifications and education and experience. And always number one, right at the top, is experience. Experience, experience, experience. But the irony is that in a lot of these job databases, when you're looking for a job, like say on Indeed, or even when you're applying directly to a job through a company's portal, you don't even get your resume looked at unless you have certain certifications. So even though the stated priority is they need to have experience and know what they're doing and so forth, they actually have to have these certifications. And we've kind of created this interesting world, right, where there's a lot of good certifications and a lot of not great certifications. And that's one of the things I really like about Isaka. They don't just pay me to say this, by the way. But Isaka takes certifications very seriously, which you could say, well, I mean, what kind of certification organization wouldn't take certifications seriously? There's a lot. For example, Isaka makes sure that you put in your CPE credits. Isaka doesn't award things for life where you can just sit with it and hold it and have it and never discuss it again. I think you're thinking of colleges for those, waka, 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 right? Those are called degrees. But they have requirements of continuous learning and so forth. What's interesting, though, is the intrinsic value of certifications. Now, it shows, right? Isaka certifications are constantly in the top 10. But there's a lot of other certifications that are in there that are in this, quote, top 10 that, you know, are not as closely scrutinized, that are not as, the standard of certification is not as high. And we were talking about how it's always very weird there, right? Because you have this varying, crazy different field of different certifications, but their value and their applicability are all over the place. And it's hard to kind of navigate that. And what ends up happening is kind of like what Dustin and I have had end up happening to us, where we just, it's almost like Pokemon, right? You got to collect them all, where we just get these certifications. We have so many certifications, we forget that we have certain certifications. We're at that point. And I'm not saying we're better off for it, but I think it's indicative of potentially a system that has to be reevaluated as far as applicability. But then again, I always get spun up in circles on this topic too. What do you think, Dustin?
So let's talk about college for a second. Let's talk about university, right? The average university semester is what, 16 weeks? Somewhere,
yes.
Give or take?
Yes. I know this one. I teach it.
That's right.
You teach, I should have known that quicker.
You teach, yeah. Graduate. That's right. You teach a graduate program at UMBC. So yeah, it's around, it depends on which university you go to, but it's usually around 16 weeks, give or take a few weeks. 16 weeks to me is like a lifetime. Like, I would lose interest in a subject so quickly after 16 weeks. And I'd be like, look, I can take this test in like 2 weeks. I can just, you, and there,
just,
but there are people out there who,
smart guy who can,
no,
take
no,
a test
no.
Two.
So, but what I'm saying is that some people can learn a subject really quickly. Some people can learn a subject in a classroom. I'm not a person that can learn a subject in a classroom. I have to do hands-on. I have to read the material myself first. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't read the material first, then go into the classroom and ask the professor questions about things that I don't understand, of course. Right. And just to show you how much I don't think I'm smart, I like to take some of the entry-level certs. So I recently retook my A-plus certification 2 years ago.
I remember that. You told me about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had my A-plus. I've had my A-plus since 2001. I retook it last year. And I learned a bunch because guess what? Things have changed.
This whole ARM processor.
Yeah, there's ARM processor. Or, you know, there were ARM processors back then. They just weren't as prolific as they are now. There's about 30 different kinds of sockets for processors that we had like three back in the day, back in, you know, 20 years ago in 2001. So I always learn. I'm also currently working on OSCP. The funny thing about that is I've been a pen tester for a long time. I've been in security for a long time. I don't really need to take the OSCP. I kind of am just doing it because it's an interesting, they kind of do a hands-on version of it, and it's an interesting cert to get. And I got to say, within the first, you know, chapter of reading it, I learned new things. And I think that's where the value really comes from, is not so much, you know, because the other thing that I recently took was my CISM, which is probably at the level that I should be taking things at, right?
Yeah, I would definitely say your CISM.
Yeah. And CISSP also, they just got in the UK, I can't remember the rating or whatever the accrediting body is that said that it was equivalent to a master's degree, but CISSP is equivalent to a master's degree and CISM is equivalent to CISSP in some circles, so therefore I have my master's degree, right? Like that's all I had to do. I'm done.
Easy math. Yeah. Done day.
But I think, you know, these are quick courses that you can take that you can renew your skill set. You can learn a new skill set. I think certifications are, you know, with the exception of something like CISSP or CISM that are 4 to 6 hour long tests and, you know, months of prep work.
And experience requirements that are more rigorous than a lot of others. Like you can just roll up and take your CEH and call it a day, right?
That's right.
But you have to actually prove that you have experience in a field for both CISM and CISSP.
That's right. CISM, CISSP, CDPSI right now as well. You actually have to turn in an application and say, hey, you know, I have these qualifications. Here's my resume. You give them your resume, right? You have to get one of your, either your current boss or one of your old supervisors to sign off to say, oh, yep, Dustin Brewer knows whatever domains that you have to know. And that was, I think, the most rigorous. You can pass the test. Great. Good for you. But guess what? You're not done yet. You know, you got to go through. And then, of course, because I'm an ISOC employee, I had to go through an extra set of hoops to jump through to make sure that, you know, I wasn't privy to any information or anything like that ahead of time. But I still think that it's one of those, I don't want to say it's a quick, you know, gimme. It's a learning experience. And you get CPEs for it, and you get knowledge out of it. And Frank and I have harped on this a million times, and we're going to harp on it again right now. You're never done learning in cybersecurity.
No, jeepers creepers.
You're never done learning in IT, right? There's always new stuff coming out. Again, even things that you knew or think that you knew, even the A+, right? Even just learning about what a computer is and how to computer, right? There's new ways on how to computer.
There really is. It's really stressful sometimes because you thought you knew it, especially when you're fixing your computer. Then you just call Dustin. That's what I do.
It's a constant learning. And I think that going back and taking some of those earlier certs everybody has a budget, right? We don't have, you know, hundreds of
dollars. I do
wish
they were cheaper, just in general. I feel like all certs are just a little more expensive than I would like them to be.
And that's another thing that's kind of happening is we see this trade-off happening between higher education and certification field. So we mentioned the UK and how they were like, you know what, CISSP, if you got that, that's equivalent to a master's degree, as far as we're concerned.
Right.
You have certain programs, such as Western Governors University, that allow you to get your certifications along with your degree, or if you already have the certifications, they let you use those
That's
credits.
That's the future, I think. That's the future. I mean, I guess we're seeing two ends of that, right, where you have certification organizations that are making master's degrees or degrees and so forth. But I also think the sooner universities and colleges get on board to, like, what WGU is doing, that's the future, because then you're getting both your practical and your theoretical all in one. Like, and I'm not using practical in the traditional sense, but like legit practical legitimacy and your certifications and your academic legitimacy from your degree at the same time. Like, that's the best 2-for-1 deal I know of out there.
Right. And full disclosure, I did get my undergraduate degree from WGU. So there's a little bit of a plug for them, I suppose. But it's not just WGU that's doing this. There are other universities out there that are accepting certifications from all ranges, from the beginning certifications all the way up to CISM, CISSP. the SANS courses as transferable credits into a program. It's a really interesting time right now. And, you know, you always have people who come up and ask, you know, certification or should I get my master's? Certification or right. should I get my undergraduate? Certification or, you know, wherever they are at their level. And I'll turn this back to Frank because I recently asked him this question. So, Frank, what's the answer? Certification or degree?
There are so many different answers to this. And I'll tell you what I was told and then I'll tell you what I think. I did my certifications way out of order, like way out of order, because I kind of fell into cyber backwards and through a tunnel. But keeping in mind,
as we all do.
Yeah, right. My bachelor's degree was in film as literature from the University of Maryland. And then I got hired by the Department of Defense a week later for cyber, which makes no sense, but whatever. So then
here you
like,
are. Look at this. Yeah. Here you are.
I was like, I need to get some certs, I guess. And I started with CEH, which, I mean, Dustin will tell you. And by the way, if anyone's wondering what order of operations to do, you should definitely go through, what's it called? You should definitely go to cyberseek.org. And you can literally just like pick a job and a career and it'll be like, then first get this cert, then get that cert and so forth. And I really wish I had had that at the time. But I started with CEH, which is not a beginner cert, right? Now, at the time, I'd been doing a lot of, you know, cyber for, 5 years at that point. But what the gentleman told me, he was my teacher at the time. And Dustin, you know him, Pierre.
Yes.
He said, hey, look, here are your options, right? I can tell you from my experience, he goes, it's all about your priorities. But you came, and I think at that time I took the course, it was like $2,500 and included the voucher in it, right? And he goes, you spent $2,500, you work with me in this boot camp for a couple weeks after work, and then you go and you take the exam, and if you're paying attention, if you're trying, you really care, you're going to have this certification. And he goes, this certification specifically, I saw a direct increase in my funds by having this certification because I got this certification, applied for another job a few weeks later, and then they gave me 10 grand more. I was like, whoa, look at you. Right. And that's true. That idiom, I'd say, kind of applies. Right. However, there's the rule, I'd say, of diminishing returns and upper limits kind of come to play. Right. You can have a bunch of different, and we're going to use careerisms or career experiences, kind of like that. The certs will get you in the door, right, to a certain extent, but having degrees will help you. It's like jet fuel. It's like, you get a degree, it's one and done, and it's like, but you don't have to keep it up or anything like that. It doesn't, and this is what I tell my students, right? You will always have something that someone can't take away from you that says, hey, at this point in time, I really knew a lot on this, right? And it has this impact of getting you even greater consideration. A lot of people can have a lot of certs, but if they don't have formal, and you do not need, I can't stress this enough, you do not need formal academic experience in order to do well in cyber and have a very happy career and, you know, go off in the sunset. However, for certain roles, if you want to move up in, let's say, for example, managerial positions and more responsibility and leadership, oh boy, do those degrees help.
Yep.
A lot. Do they help a lot? I see, the case in point, there are organizations that Dustin and I are part of, and we're not endorsing this, by the way, that you can only be a part of if you have undergraduate or master's degrees. Otherwise, you don't get a seat at the table because you can't go to super secret cyber meetings and stuff like right. that, the policy meetings. And, you know, I'm not saying that's right, by the way. I think you can, you know, Goodwill Hunting through anything, right, if you really put your effort into it. But they make getting doors open a lot easier throughout your career. Yes, I understand the argument, and I always have this with my students. Yes, I understand the argument. Oh, it's dumb. It shouldn't be that way. I'm not arguing that point at all, and you can still succeed without degrees. However, if you put the effort in now to get the degree, it's going to be a lot less effort later to advance. I don't know. We talk about this a couple times, Dustin. Tell me I'm crazy, but like, what are you thinking?
No, you're not crazy. Look, there's a system out there, and the system has checkboxes.
It does.
And if you can circumvent the system, you can, but it's not easy. It's easier to actually just check the boxes, right?
Get your ticket punched and ride in the train cab rather than trying to like climb on the top of the train and hold on by your fingers.
Right. that's for now, right? Like we definitely see an uptick in, hey, because we have this cyber skills gap, We need to knock down some barriers here. And one of those barriers I see getting knocked down is, you know, hey, do you have your bachelor's? No. Okay. Do you want to learn how to do cybersecurity? Yes. Okay. You know what? We're going to try you out because you have the soft skills you need. You have, you know, whatever else your criteria is, we're going to get you in the door and we're going to see how you do. And a lot of times, I got to be honest with you, I've worked with PhDs. I've worked with masters, people with their master's degree in cybersecurity or even in computer science. And some of the best people I've worked with in the field don't even have their high school diploma. And I'm not making that up. I've worked with some excellent professionals who just know the ins and outs, especially pen testing. They're just amazing at finding the exploit, finding the vulnerability and exploiting the vulnerability and getting it to work and then being like, oh, here we go. Here's what you need to do to patch it. And here, you know, they know it all. And it's just it's amazing. And it's again, I'm not saying that you to do that job, you don't need a degree. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying, though, is that we are starting to break down these barriers because we're starting to see professionals who weren't traditionally educated and they're still amazing professionals and they're amazing at their job.
You know, that reminds me of Dustin. We used to. Wow. It's been 8 years. We used to teach a course a while back for DoD that included a lot of military and intelligence professionals and so forth. And every now and then you would get these people sent to you who really fit the bill. They fit the mold. On paper, they look like, yeah, this is the dude, or this is the person that really is going to they're going to be the future of this organization and all that. And they were terrible.
Yep.
Right. And we'd always have then, you know, their platoon leader or their boss or whoever call us up and go, I don't understand what's going on. And it would be the same thing. We would tell them, well, yes, they do have this. Yes, they did go to XYZ school. Yes, they do might have cert, you know, this or that. You can't teach ambition. All right. I can't make them care. I can't make them show up on time and listen to the words I say or that Dustin says. And go, okay, thank you. I know this. Like, you remember that one Joker, Dustin, who like was so disconnected that dude would his team would do a group presentation and he was taking notes as they were doing it on their own presentation. And we're like, why are you doing this? He goes, well, hey, this is really good stuff. I'm like, you should know this. This is your team. Oh my gosh. So it gets to your point, right? Some of the best people have no background, and some of the worst people are super qualified.
Yep.
So it comes down to tenacity, ambition. I mean, I don't want to sound like those inspirational Will Smith quotes or something like, if you just believe in yourself, you can do it. Right. But like, really, if you care about topics.
Enthusiasm makes the difference, right?
Yeah, and but passion really does too. Like, if you really like something, and it's you're like, oh. Like, for example, dentists really need to like teeth. They really need to like teeth, because if you're not really interested in what's going on in that mouth, you're not going to be a good dentist, right? You're just not.
Back to cyber. Right, exactly. You really got to like packets. Really got to like ones and zeros.
Specifically packets. That was the aha moment for me when we were working on making that packet analysis course. What was it, like 2010 or 2011? And I was like, man, I just really like these packets. And I'm just looking around like, oh, but people don't say that.
No, but guess what? Like, you quickly became the Frank Downs. He's the packet guy. Like, he teaches the Wireshark course and he's amazing at it. Like, that's all, like, that's like kind of how I got introduced to you. It was just like, hey, he's Frank Downs. He's the packet guy.
And I still think it's because I liked puzzles as a kid, like jigsaw puzzles, because packet, especially Wireshark course, it is all little puzzle pieces. You're like, oh, what's this one say? Ooh, cool. What's this one say? Which is also the worst way to do packet analysis at scale.
Yeah, don't look at all the packets. Know what you're looking for, right? But at the same time, because you went through and you looked, you know, like you started off that way and you were looking at every single packet, you probably learned a lot more than you would have if you were just going through a lab and they said, look for this packet. Oh, there it is. Now you know how to find that packet.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
It's the same thing. I mean, so I was a nerdy kid in junior high, you know, trying to load up Linux on these old 286 computers. And like, that's how I learned how to do it as well. And yeah, I definitely, there were better ways to do what I did, for sure. But because I had to do it, and I'm like, oh, I guess I got to go rebuild this kernel again because I don't have the driver for the keyboard, you know, or not the keyboard.
And don't pretend you haven't been installing Linux on something in the last month, too.
Oh, I totally did. I actually installed Linux on I have an Emac from 1998. I installed Linux on it. I installed the new version of Debian on it. But it's PowerPC, right? It's not okay. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, but I mean that's again, that's kind of like that passion that you have to kind of have in order to get that. Now, the certifications help prove that, right? They help prove like, oh, this guy, at least he cares enough to go, and however long it took him to study for this certification exam, at least he can speak the lingo, and at least he has the drive to get the certification. And of course, we have our, you know, our performance-based stuff at ISOC. We have the CSXP exam. We have all of our performance-based labs that we do as well, which are hands-on. Not only do you have to know how to use Wireshark, but you got to like actually use it, click on it, go through the packets, find the right packet, export the packet, you know, whatever it is you have to do in the lab and prove that you know how to do all those skill sets, which is kind of, that's where we're headed. Here's the futurist. That's where we're headed, that we're headed towards performance-based things. And you do see that CompTIA is coming out with performance-based stuff. EC Council is coming out with performance-based stuff. ISACA, I'm not going to say we were the first, but we're probably the best.
We've seen what other people have.
If you're asking yourself the question, you know, oh, should I get a certification? Should I start a degree program? Start the degree program, I think. I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah, especially depending on where you are in your career. There's never a wrong time to get more learning, right? Yep. I really do mean that. Like Dustin said, we believe learning is always, right? But especially if you're like 18 and you're looking at colleges and you're trying to think about what should I go to college? What do I want to study and stuff like that? I mean, that's a good time, because I'll tell you, as a person who is married and has two kids, I can't believe I'm even teaching at night right now, let alone trying to get a degree at night, right?
And so recording a podcast. Or any of that. Yeah, yeah. It definitely gets harder. And again, like if you're like, oh, degree, okay, yeah, I don't have time for that, then do a cert.
Yeah.
Just do, also, like, then, it's, yeah. They're not easy, right? But they are, you can do quick study sessions with those. You can, you know, whatever the next step in your career path is, or if you're already kind of at the top or you're kind of already where you want to be, lateral over to something else. Check it out. You know, like if you're an amazing IT auditor, jump over to malware analysis. Number one, you're going to learn more about malware analysis, right? Which is really, really cool. But you're also going to learn more about your own job via doing that, right?
Let's say we have a listener who either has chosen to go the certification route rather than the formal university route, and they're kind of applying to jobs but getting stuck because they don't meet the, you know, must have a bachelor's degree requirement. What are some strategies for them to get their foot in the door, even if they don't have the university requirements that HR departments might be looking for?
This is a tough one, because it's not always the HR that's doing the screening, right? Or it is HR doing screening, but it's an automated process. And that's becoming more and more prevalent. The only answer I really have to that is to know somebody who already works there.
Right. And be able to
and let them know, like, hey,
another way.
Yeah. And let them know, hey, I'm applying to this. I don't meet this requirement. But however, I will say that because of the security, the cybersecurity skills gap, a lot of those are being replaced. But I think as on the flip side of this, as people who are hiring, make sure that your HR people know that, because we have some great people in HR that, guess what? They're going through and they're checking a box too. And they're, because they don't know, right? If you're like must have bachelor's degree, must have CISSP, you know, whatever that certification or, you know, whatever the thing is, you need to make sure, like, or equivalent, right? You need to make sure that that verbiage is in there so that the HR people know exactly what to put in the system.
Also, I really want to stress the fact that just having a degree is not the secret ingredient. And I have the weirdest story, and I don't mean to bring up dentistry twice in a podcast, but the last time I got my teeth cleaned, the dental hygienist who was cleaning my teeth, he goes, I hear you do cyber. I'm like, yeah. He goes, I have my cyber master's degree. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah. I'm like, and you're a dental hygienist? He goes, yeah, no, I got it. I don't know if I want to do this forever. And I thought I'd try and get it, but getting a job is really hard. And I'm thinking, like, wait a second. We literally do surveys at ISAGA every year that say it's hard to get people, right? So I'm like, I don't understand, man. What do you mean? There's a lot of jobs out there. It's just, you know, sure, you got to hunt and find them. And he goes, yeah, well, no one wants to hire me as a SOC lead. And I'm like, dude, you're a dental hygienist. He's like, yeah, but I got my master's degree. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
But you're a dental hygienist. I was like, do you have any certs? He goes, well, I figured. I was like, so I want everyone to know in this example, right? Yeah, if you can get in the door and talk to someone, but also keep in mind that, like, the people who are really need you in that job role, if you can flag their attention, I guarantee you, if you don't have a degree, that's not going to be a limiting factor if you can really prove that you are capable. So, because I know people with degrees who are incapable.
Absolutely. And it's really hard to prove that you know how to do things on a keyboard, which is why performance based is becoming more important, right? So if you want to be a SOC lead, you know, but have never been in a SOC before, well, first of all, that's not going to, even with the best performance training, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. You need to be actually, you know, in a SOC, be on watch, you know, deal with incidents. I mean, you just need to do that. But performance-based training is kind of one of those, I don't want to say shortcuts, but it's definitely like if you want to get hired on as an analyst, like a analyst one or a junior analyst or whatever, you know, that whatever that industry calls it, it's kind of one of the best ways to get your foot in the door and say like, hey, like I know the theory and not only that, but I've actually done this in a laboratory environment before, so I can probably do it in real life. So let's test it out and see.
And that's actually helped two of my students, my master's students, get a job at different organizations because they actually took their ISACA printout, our CSX CPE printout. So if anyone who's taken our CSX training, we don't just tell you if you pass or fail based off your practical labs. We tell you what you did right, what you did wrong, how you were graded against those things, and what job roles that you are now working to be qualified for based off NIST 800-181 official work roles of cyber, and what skill sets you now have because you've done this. And all that is in your transcripts and so forth and in your outputs. And I think the futurists would agree that having the capability of doing more of that in the future will help is kind of where things are headed and what will help really differentiate, you know, people beyond just, you know, here's a piece of paper and this guy down the street says I did a good job.
Yeah. Let me check my magic eight ball.
Right.
Yeah. It says, well, it says outcome uncertain. Please try again. So
try it later. That's just how the futurists keep their jobs. Lack of commitment.
Thanks, Frank and Dustin. And that's all we have time for in this episode of the ISACA podcast. But if you're interested in hearing more from Frank and Dustin, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode.